From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts. You know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. That's right. On this Tuesday morning, it is Taz and Moose with you as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide seamless mortgage experience. Mike Pete across the way, Zookin for the
Zookster
under the weather. Andrew Bogish here.
Yeah, the Zookster
on this Tuesday morning.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you said Zookin. I'm like, wow, Zookin, that's new one.
Yeah, that is a new one. Yeah, no, I said Zooksin.
No, I know. Sounds like it. Zooksin.
That's it. That's exactly right. But he's got your updates as we got an hour left to play with. It's interesting when we're, you know, kind of, we didn't really have much time to react to what, you know, George Shahori had to say from a PFF Taz. But before we get to the three here. You know, listen, everyone's got opinions, and it's a different way of looking at in terms of analyzing football. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, all right? So I don't think there's one way to win football games, right? I don't think you look at
right.
it and say, this is the way you need to win.
Right.
I think there's a lot of different ways that you can win games. I think there are ways in which teams go about it, which they make it more difficult on themselves. But I do think, and to an extent, I think stats are a good thing. Analytics are a good thing to an extent. However, and we've seen it overtake Major League Baseball, and we've seen it become a big thing, certainly in the NBA, in which you grade out players, points per possession, what they do defensively, everything and the like, the plus minus when you're on the basketball court. We're starting to see it, certainly, and PFF is kind of leading the way in the National Football League. But I do think sometimes too much of it can be a bad thing, because I do think we can get a little bit too analytical, and we have to realize there is, as Joe Torre once told Brian Cashman when he was out as Yankee manager, you know, there is a heartbeat to the game. You got to remember these are men playing sports. There is a level in terms of guys being able to perform. You can't just plug numbers in and expect to win.
Oh God, I don't know how to say it that I agree a zillion percent with what you just said. I mean, 1,000,000%. Look, like, you're right. Stats are important, and we spit stats at times. You know, obviously, we have to in our job, you know, to inform people, you know. But analytics is, that's even another level of stats. It's like
you're
trying to basically say, you know, a game is, a play's happened and successful this way, this amount of times. And, you know, it's not that we're ripping George here. It's just, I really don't. I mean, to me, the running game is just a vital part of, not important, vital part of any level of football. No, youth, middle school, high school, college, and pro ball. I don't care. It's very, 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 very important. Except maybe arena football, but it's different rules. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Arena football, a little different. They're throwing the ball nonstop there. But, and just for me, like, people know, I don't need a computer or stats to tell me that the importance of the run game are the offensive linemen. I mean, that's anybody who knows anything about football knows how important that is. I mean, so, but I also believe in, that's why, but you combine a really good offensive line with a super talented running back, you could have a great offensive line, but that doesn't mean you could take a guy who's a normal third or fourth in the depth chart at running back and he's going to be successful. That I don't agree with. And that's kind of what George was saying with the analytics, that you could just kind of take somebody, you know, the running back name is not as important. It's more or less the offensive line that does all the work. I don't know about that. I think it's
right.
The combination.
Well, it is a combination of both. Now, now there might not be a great disparity between the one and the two. I mean, it's interesting because we kicked off the program talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Not kicked off, but in the first hour, we talked a little bit about Ezekiel Elliott. So for argument's sake, you brought up the depth chart of the Cowboys before, right? But
right.
Rod Smith was a member of the Cowboys last year.
Rod Smith's
good running back,
good running
right?
Back, yeah.
But if I plugged Rod Smith for the Dallas Cowboys in, right, and he was Ezekiel Elliott wasn't a Dallas Cowboy, would that offense be as successful? I don't believe it would be.
And
Rod Smith might be able to run for 1,100 yards in a season. But there are things called momentum and turning points and guys being able to give you that kind of Herculean running effort on a third and short where the offensive line doesn't block. Is it's one thing to say, okay, if the offensive line does its job, but there are plays in which running backs gain yardage, positive yards,
right,
when the offensive line doesn't do their job.
Absolutely. And to the point
and
you made about...
And that's what makes a special running back special.
Correct. And the point you made about a Herculean effort by someone who maybe is not, let's say it's the Cowboys we're talking about, where it's Ezekiel Elliott's not on the field. Let's say, God forbid, he turns his ankle and he's off the field for a series. So, you know, here comes Tony Pollard or Darius Jackson. Well, the New York Giants, let's say they're playing the Giants, defensively, they're not scheming. They didn't do a lot of scout on Jackson or Pollard. They did their scout work on Elliott.
Right.
So that's where you'll get that Herculean effort, too. See, that's something, dude, that like the analytics aren't going to show. Because the analytics, the computer can't tell who that team is scheming for when the defensive coordinator and the position coaches are working with the defensive players all week watching film on said Ezekiel Elliott.
Right. And here's where, and Taz, here's the where I look at analytics regardless of sport, right? I think analytics, we've all watched enough baseball, basketball, NFL, hockey, right, to know great players, right, what they can do, what they can't do. I do think sometimes you can uncover guys that maybe are not used in the proper way, that maybe you can find guy on the depth chart that maybe deserves a bigger role on a team by looking at his impact on a game or on a team or on a defensive or offensive line, given maybe minimal opportunity. Do you know what I mean? I think you can uncover and find guys based on how you grade guys out and when you're analyzing games. I do think there's a positive nature to that. But, you know, in terms of running the football, you know, we know about the offensive line, and not every running back's made the same, not every offensive line. And I do think at the base of it, we can all talk about passing being important, but at the base of it, if you don't win at the point of attack, offensive and defensive line, you're not winning many football games.
No, that's that's the game. I mean, and anyone who watches or played or coached, you don't have to play or coach to know what you just said. You're exactly right. And again, I don't need a computer to tell me that. I just knowing all of us watching as fans or being former players or coaches, you know, the point of attack, the line of scrimmage, in the pit, any kind of the foxhole, any kind of a adjective or gimmicky name you want to give it, that's where the game is won or lost. I mean, do we need a computer to tell us that? I mean, you know what I mean?
I know, I get it.
Look forward to having
it.
George on again in the
future. No, George, but he's a good sport. He went back and forth. It was a good conversation. It was.
Yeah,
and,
it was. That was. He's a good guy.
And the other thing is, it's not going away, Taz. It's going to get more and more.
Yeah.
You're going to see more and more of it because... I mean, Collinsworth's the one that's involved in PFF, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. They use their rankings.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is he really?
I believe he is.
Chris Collinsworth. Wide receiver Jones.
Yes, correct. Yeah. NBC, I believe, because they use the PFF rankings during the Sunday night games.
You know what? I think you're right about that. Yeah, you're all correct, sir.
And Chris Collinsworth is, I don't know how much of the business he owns, but he does play a role in that business in PFF.
Yeah, and he's an old school football guy.
Yeah,
so I mean, you
sure.
know, but yeah, so but yeah.
But
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, you're going to get more and more of it. Like the PFF aspect of it, it's going to come more and more in terms of how you grade out players and what they do individually on the football field.
You know, who's big into that is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony Khan, who owns the New Wrestling League. He's very big. I think he owns a company like this, like an analytics type of. Stats, not just for football. I'm pretty sure I could be off a little bit, but I think for all different sports, soccer, football, like crazy analytics, like
more
crazy
and more money,
genius. Yeah, that guy's a billionaire. I mean, how much money do you need, Tone?
Right, Collinsworth owns
TK, as they call him,
a majority interest. So he's basically the owner of PFF.
Yeah,
Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, yeah,
majority interest. Owner. Yes, majority.
It's basically,
interest.
George Chanahani. Works
Chahori.
Right. Works for, look how mad Mike, I said the
Chris
name.
Chris Collinsworth.
Sorry, Mike. For Chris Collinsworth.
Got right.
Mike, he's giving me dirty looks. Moose, this is not going to end well for
I'm
Mike.
Not giving you looks.
And today's the big debut of Basketball Drive, so I was going to promote it.
Well,
Moose promoted it already.
Well, yeah, soft launch last night, hard launch this afternoon.
There you go. That's it.
And he's got Bilotti shooting video for him.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we had to have a separate video team do video for Taz and the Moose.
Well,
all the video stuff. Right.
And John from Orange, did you see the tweet from him yesterday? Asking
which
us.
Which one? There's a plus.
Well, he sent this, but one in particular to everybody. He goes, where's the video update? I didn't respond.
Oh, on this show here? Oh, John, don't.
There's,
don't.
There's no video.
There is no. No. There's no video update. It has nothing to do with Moose's performance or my performance or our team's performance. That I can tell you.
The bloom is off the rose.
No. Yeah, the bloom is off the rose. There it is. Double entendre city. That was funny. Pete the Body, line of the day. It's not even 9 a.m. Eastern. You got the line of the day.
Right.
We had a hell of a run that's a couple of days with the video.
The
remember
two
that
days,
was?
Right. We dominated. Our numbers were off the charts.
They were great.
Wednesday and Thursday of Super Bowl
remember
week.
Remember that? Dude,
Thursday
was,
and Friday of Super Bowl week.
It was great. Moose was great. Mike was great. It was awesome. Everybody's going crazy. Fans loved it. And then all of a sudden, it was like a stoppage. And there was nothing. And now we're in this misery moment where it's just, well, we thought we were going to have video. Moose and I are like, yeah, where is it? Don't worry, guys. It's coming. It's coming, guys.
We even had an open me.
We did, Moose. You had to bring up that open.
That was nice.
Nobody else saw it except for me, you, and Moose.
That's
and the
it.
Guy who made it.
Right.
It
was good.
Right.
And
where is Lee Mean, by the way?
Lee, he's training.
He's very quiet.
He has been quiet.
Waited me yesterday.
I think he's angry. He's angry.
Why is he angry?
He's a little angry with a lot of people. So
is he angry
busy.
With me? What did I do wrong now?
Now.
What did I do wrong now? What did I do to tick off Lee Mean?
I don't know.
No, tell me. Be honest with me. I want to know.
No, I don't. Maybe
that
it was,
bothers me.
It
I don't want been, him to be mad at
it
me.
It might have been something on social media that you didn't react to or help promote.
Oh, no.
It could have.
Oh,
you go, oh
no.
Mark.
Come on.
Why? It might have been something like that. I don't know. Maybe. You DM him. You guys talk. You guys are friends.
I'm gonna send him a message. Yeah. Because he's been very quiet.
He has been quiet. He's angry. When he's quiet, that means he's angry. And he's busy. He don't have time to deal with it. You want to be blunt? I'll be blunt. I'm going to just say it. And it has nothing to do with you, Moose.
Oh, okay.
There it is. It's Wise Guy Jones, board operator Jones. That guy, Pete the Body, in the match. That guy.
But why does his hatred of Bilotti affect you and
Pete
I?
Because Pete Bilotti
well, he
has.
He hates We Over Nation.
He banished and he hates We Over Nation.
Right.
And Pete, you're the biggest heel in the territory. They hate you because you hated them first.
I don't hate them at all.
Mark. Yes, you do hate them. You do.
You are a mark.
You do. And that because you hit all these sounds and you make them feel lesser than you.
But I just don't understand why that has to do with us. Why he
because
could,
we're
he
the host.
He could freeze out Pete. It doesn't mean that he can't, you know.
Because you know why? These guys, Pete and Mike, they're attached to us by proxy.
Oh.
Lean Mean tweeted me yesterday.
Well, he actually promoted your freaking basketball drops.
Yeah, he did. So we're
he has no problem with you because you don't attack and beat upon the head, neck, and chest area of the Wheel of a Nation like the guy next to you does.
I'm giving him attention by calling him.
Buck. Oh, see? See how he has fun with it. So when that happens, another one goes away. Kingsman, bye-bye.
Well, that's Speakerphone Jones.
Thanks for coming.
Right.
Oh, there goes the Kingsman. He's gone already. We said that.
Mark.
Lean Mean's gone. We had so many others that Nando, a proud NYPD officer, where is he? Nando disappeared. He listens to WFAN, which is a great station.
Well, you
here
were a huge fan of Nando.
Well, yes.
We're
of
all
course.
Big fans.
I do it out of love.
And because of P.U. Pete, you know, and hopefully... You don't go through a yellow light that might be red, and Nando's near you. Okay, yeah.
I
got that on tape. Thank you.
Mark.
I was just curious why Lean Mean was quiet.
Yeah, well.
It's all because of Bilotti.
It's because of Bilotti. It is. And Bilotti's stupid-ass friend, Bawami. That guy.
Well,
he's
Bawami's
another
coming back for some winners during the football
don't
season.
Don't bring Bawami into this.
Bawami's going to be back.
Even your buddy Pete Gass disappeared.
Yes, Pete. But he was going through some stuff.
I didn't know that. But okay, hopefully he's okay now.
No,
actually, I heard from him this morning. No, I heard from
physically
offline convo. I heard from Pete. No, he seems great to me. But but publicly, I think you're drawing people away. You do this on the other shows you're on?
No, I'm just trying to give them the attention they deserve.
Mark.
Can you do something about this?
No, I didn't. I probably didn't.
Can you help?
No, with what?
Stopping him from attacking
audience. No, it's good. It plays.
It's good.
John from Orange, though, to answer your question, no video anytime soon.
Yeah, there it is. If you didn't get the note from the music.
Right.
So,
That's not happening. It's all quiet.
On the Western Front.
Right.
And Eastern Front.
Right. Head down, man down.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
Mark Malusis.
Yeah, no, the videos, how do you say? No bueno.
No, no eye contact.
What's no bueno mean? What's no bueno? No good? No, we were good. We were good.
No eye contact, no conversation.
No, come off the elevator bank.
Head down.
Head down.
Everyone's got
you're getting podcast notes from a different guy sends it now. You notice that?
Yeah, I know.
You notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
You notice that,
our
Mike?
Our buddy Tony Meal.
Right.
I like Tony.
Tony's a good guy.
TM, as we call him.
We're getting, right. He's now taking over.
AB disappeared. All right, no problem. Yep. Not this AB.
Got five kids.
No, but anyway.
How about a bench cut start of AB's?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I know who I'm cutting.
That's good.
Antonio Brown.
Bogus.
She's good. Bogus, and the other Brown, guy. And Bloom.
Oh. Yeah.
Good August, mid-July topic.
That'd be a good one. That's it. That's a good BCS.
Good one. Maybe we could do that one as a separate podcast offline that's explicit. What do you think, Moose? Don't play that one.
That may have been the line of the day.
Do a little explicit pod.
That's
we got to go to break, Moose.
We do. We got the three coming your way next.
All right.
It's Taz and the Moose with you. What do you need to know here on this Tuesday morning? We're going to tell you next right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get to the three here momentarily. Zookie, Zookster, D-Bone.
Dude, all of the above.
All the above.
Darwin, it's just it's worse than ever.
Darwin.
Yeah. It's taken a life of its own.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it has. That's all right. I'll go with it.
Moose
be good
is
sport.
Hitting so many new ones, it's almost like we got to do maybe a new poll.
Your face is great. Like, whoa, wait a minute.
I can't wait.
Like, whoa, no.
What does Bogus have one when Bogus is in?
No, Bogus. No, Bogus has the song. You don't want what Bogus has.
Oh.
Right.
Bogus has the song.
Maybe. I'm Andrew Bogus.
No, not besides that. He has the song.
The Weird Al Yankovic song.
Yeah, this is his song. Oh. You know the words? This is Bogus. So you don't want this. And you're not this guy.
He's a big Weird Al.
The white nerdy? You don't want that, bro.
No.
Actually, Bogus, Bruce, when you were out, he was telling me that Weird Al was playing here locally in New York.
Yeah, he's excited about that.
He was. I'm like, wow.
Where?
He didn't say Jones Beach. I don't remember
where
he said.
Was it Jones Beach?
I don't pitch him at Jones Beach.
Weird Al sells out Jones Beach?
No.
Say, Freud, what do you think? How many people do you think Weird Al grits? $10,000?
Seven.
No, $7,000?
Seven people.
Oh, stop.
I mean, I remember he was huge like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years. I'm talking about right now.
Whoa. He was huge about 30 years ago when Gallagher was huge.
Right, yeah. 30 years ago. So 20, 25 years ago. How many people do you think show up to watch a Weird Al concert?
He's going
20,000?
No,
I can't imagine he would get.
He'd get 100 people at the brokerage.
No, didn't stop. 10,000 people.
Brokerage.
10,000.
Maybe Mulcahy's gets 20 people. Dude, he's not getting 10,000 people.
No, he'll get a few thousand.
Are you kidding me, Moose?
You think he does a concert and he only gets 2,000 people?
Yeah, a few thousand people. Maybe 2,000, 3,000.
Maybe. Mikey B's got our concert team on this. So they're looking at
the... I'm looking up Weird Al's concert
Thanks,
numbers.
Mike.
And
just
so.
Take the bit and just kick it right in the face. That's perfect. Just take the bit and just put gas in on it and burn it. That's what you should do to the bit. Just take it.
It's 18,000 a show.
Oh, Moose was
18,
right.
18,000?
No, I'm making it up.
Okay, well, yeah, I was trusting you, Catman. Sorry.
Let's see that. Let's see what venues he's playing.
There's no way he's selling out.
I'm with you,
Pete.
All
right, hold on a second.
No
let's just
no
see
way.
The venues. Right,
he's got to be playing Small Beans.
Let's see what
ECW
we are.
Arena.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Sorry, I keep talking. I'm trying to do a radio show.
So July 20th.
Right.
So yes, he was just here. He plays Forest
Where's
Hill.
Here?
Forest Hill Stadium.
Oh, okay.
New York.
That's by for people that don't know by LaGuardia Airport by Citi Field.
Okay, so he played Forest Hill Stadium. July 21st, he was up in Boston, played the Rockland Trust Bank Pavilion.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I know where that is.
July 23rd, he's in Lewiston, New York, the Art Park Amphitheater.
There you go. See? So I don't think these buildings are holding 20,000 people.
Where the Jets play some of their games.
That's where the University of Maine Black Bears cricket team plays.
Right. Apparently, Forest Hill Stadium is a 14,000 seat stadium.
And they blacked out the stadium, half of it. I promise you. For him. Can we find out how many people were in this venue to see this guy do whatever the hell he is that he does?
His tickets range from $35 to $99. Most expensive ticket, $99.
Let me tell you. Bogus goes for that one.
Yeah, Bogus is in. He's like, I need the 99.
That is at the Pinewood Bowl Theater in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow. Jeez. And you're thinking this guy's drawing 20,000 people?
You
think he's Michael Blue Blay?
Listen, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I said, I asked you the question, 20,000. You said 20.
I said 7. How many people, Moose? Can you find out how many people?
Played at Foxwoods.
All right, that's good.
Resort Foxwoods is good. Now, that's a good one.
You ever go to Foxwoods?
Yeah.
It smells like smoke.
Well, yeah. They
it smoke. Does. It's horrible. The other one's better.
Mohegan.
Mohegan. That's better.
Mohegan's good, too. Yeah, they're both. I mean, you go up there to gamble and party.
I think you get a little bit of a higher clientele at Mohegan than you do at Foxwoods. Foxwoods, a little bit more of a harder crowd, Moose. A little bit really? More of a... Gamble. Maybe that's why you like it there. A little bit more of that real gambler, OTB type crowd at Foxwoods.
Oh,
OTB.
There's nothing.
You know what I mean.
I know OTB, yes.
The Aqueduct Grandstand crowd. Not the clubhouse at Belmont.
You just paint all horse players as one thing. The guys are showing up at OTB.
That was my dad.
I understand.
Jody Mack.
That was my dad. That's all
right.
He was.
Digging through the losing tickets, hoping to find the one that's the winner that someone happened to throw away.
Cursing nonstop.
The $2 Quinnell. That's worth $10.
I'm telling you, there's a different.
Hoping to find that voucher for 50 cents.
You've been to Foxwoods and you've been to Mohegan, right, Pete?
Yes, I have.
Okay, am I wrong? Is there a better clientele at Mohegan?
I'm usually digging through the tickets anyway.
He's the guy. He's the guy. Right. Exactly.
Betting on rock, paper, scissors. That's
They're
me.
Both. The clientele at both are fantastic.
Oh yeah,
they are.
How many people go to see Weird Al? That's all I want to know. How many went to Forest Hills Theater?
Bogus will tell you an exact number, I'm sure, tomorrow when he's back in.
Where?
That Pinewood Bowl Theater is 5,500 people.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That's what it holds?
Yes.
5,500 people.
I've wrestled a lot of buildings.
That's in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Stinky like that. So when is he doing that?
Bismarck Event Center in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Beautiful town.
See, I'm looking up tickets here.
Well,
all ages.
Hold on a second.
I find it hard to believe he's going to these plays, Nebraska and Bismarck, places that, I don't know.
Wow.
How would he be popular there?
Well, look at this. I'll give you an example.
There.
I'm looking here. Weird Al tickets for Lewiston, New York. Okay, this is for tonight. You can go tonight, Pete, if you'd like. At the Art Park in Lewiston, New York.
Yeah.
You can get lawn tickets. I don't even never heard of this. On the grass, I guess. $44. Or you can sit right in the front of the stage reserved for $119.
Who is doing his ticket pricing?
His gardener. I don't know. He's sitting on the lawn. This is like this building. I've never even seen a venue like this. The VIP skybox is wide open if you want to sit there. So there's plenty of room there, Pete.
Monday. Listen, Weird Al is and the WWE they're playing the same arena 10 days apart. Bismarck.
Bet you I can tell you who's going to draw more.
WWE Live and Weird Al Yankovic.
Really?
Yeah.
When is that?
WWE Live is in Bismarck, August 16th.
It's a house show.
10 days later.
Live event Jones. Right.
10 days later, you've got Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay, let me give one more example. I'm looking at Weird Al. He's playing...
the Bismarck Event Center.
Oh, listen. July 27th, Saturday, in Milwaukee, okay, Wisconsin, Miller High Life Theater. Right now, every seat's available... except for section 2. Okay, the seats are $40. The place, right. There's nobody going.
All right. Well, I mean, do you have to publicly disparage the man? I mean,
yes.
He was reporting.
That's what I do.
Would you like to know his net worth?
I don't believe that.
You
but
guess
go ahead. I don't believe what you're reading online.
Let's guess. Weird Al's net worth.
$160,000.
Higher.
Bilotti, what's his net worth?
I'm going to guess $10 million.
Are you people out your mind?
$500,000.
What?
$500,000.
$500,000.
Guy's a Grammy winner.
Yeah, come on.
God. He won. Hold on. Did he really win a Grammy? He won a Grammy.
Yeah, I'd say he's worth $7 million.
Oh my god.
16.
No way.
I'm gonna vomit.
That's unbelievable.
I can't believe.
And
this.
We mock the crowd.
And we mock.
That was his retort right
and
there.
We mock.
16
million.
Right.
Wow. I'm definitely doing something wrong.
We mock and we laugh.
Wow.
And Weird Al unzips his fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it away, Darwin.
That's a depressing way to take it away right
now.
All right,
that really is.
This report brought to you by Wrangler Outdoor.
Wow. I can't believe that. I'm sorry. Good luck, Darwin.
Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, UPF 30 protection, Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Twins.
How does a guy like that make that amount of money? He's got no talent.
All in the mid 90s.
Well, he had a niche for it, and he really took advantage of it. He's got some solid songs.
There's some
people that disagree.
He had some talent.
Back in the day, he was all right.
Amish Paradise.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't. You have?
That was great.
Yeah. Back in the day, that was one. And he did the Michael Jackson.
Eat It.
Yeah. That was a big one. Yep.
Oh, my God.
I'm a mark for this guy, all of a sudden.
I could tell. You definitely are a mark.
You are a mark.
Oh, maybe you guys should do a show field trip with Bogus to one of these venues, and together you go enjoy it.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I'll call out sick. I'm not going to do that.
The Twins continue their pace to smash the single-season home run record set by the Yankees last year. That was the matchup last night. More of the same for Minnesota.
And the 2-2 pitch, a fly ball left center field. Talkman again going back at the track. He's at the wall. He leaps up, and that's gone. Twins go back-to-back. Number 20 for the boomstick. 2-0, opening inning.
Corey Provis there on the call. Jorge Polanco, Nelson Cruz going back-to-back. Twins belt 5 homers, beat the Yankees 8-6. Twins also turning a triple play in the first inning. Indians won for the 8th time in 9 games. They took down the Blue Jays 7-3. Mike Clevinger winning his 3rd straight decision. Cardinals and Pirates tied at 2 in the 10th, and Paul Goldschmidt stepped to the plate with the bases juiced.
And here it comes to Goldie, and there's a swing and a fly ball to right field, and it's deep. Backing up is the right fielder to the track. To the wall, and it's gone! Grand slam home run, Goldschmidt in the 10th, and the Cardinals take a big lead behind Paul Goldschmidt.
That is Rick Horton, Cards Radio Network. St. Louis hanging on to win 6-5 over the Bucks. Giants rallied for their 16th win in 19 games. They take down the Cubs 5-4, over 500 now for the first time this season. And according to reports now, the independent Atlantic League so happy with the so-called robot umpires, they plan on using them now for the rest of this season. NBA news, Tim Duncan is returning as an assistant coach, the Spurs all-time leader in points, rebounds, and block shots, joining his pal Greg Popovich there in San Antonio. And the Wizards offering all-star guard Bradley Beal a 3-year, $111 million extension as soon as they can. That'll be on Friday. Beal and Tobias Harris also withdrawn from playing with Team USA in the World Cup this summer. Number one overall pick Zion Williamson also planning to skip training camp. He hurt his knee in summer league play, so they're going to rest him coming up. Back to you guys.
All right. That's
all right.
Great.
Thank you, Darwin. Appreciate it. Let's get to it. Here we go, three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Odell Beckham Jr., latest round of hating on the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't come to an end. Now, GQ piece came out yesterday, or is coming out this week, and unveiled yesterday, I should say. Interview was done a couple months back. Beckham, in a wide-ranging interview.
Right.
He's an interesting guy. He is. It's a good read. If you haven't taken a look at it, take a look at it. I mean, it's not just about the Giants. But clearly, Taz, when you look at it, the way that it ended with the Giants clearly still bothers him. He felt disrespected. Felt like, you know, he bringing up stuff that he was the brand. He was the reason why the Giants were on national TV. I mean, all these different things that he brings up. And it does come a point in time where hopefully this is it. The Brown fan is hoping this is it, pleading for this is it, that he's got to move on talking about the Giants.
Yeah, I hope this is it too. And we talked a ton about this earlier. And like you said at the top of the show, you made sure you pointed out, just like you did now, that this interview that he did in text form, that he did with the GQ in the magazine on the online website gimmick, it's not audio, but, you know, it was a couple of months ago. So, I mean, I think it was a little bit more fresh from when he was released by the Giants, so maybe he was venting a little bit. I mean, he didn't go and rip them in the article. There was actually some good stuff in the article, as we discussed earlier, Moose. So it's a pretty good read if you want to check it out with the GQ, with Beckham. You know, it was, you know, he kind of just, he seems, he definitely came off like you had said, any success or any primetime TV penetration they had, the Giants, it's because of his star power, which we both agree is most probably true. He was the biggest star on the team, but there's no reason for you to say it.
No.
You know, that's where it's like you make your rest of your former teammates look like idiots. He shouldn't have did that, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form, and that's where it's got to stop. I mean, honestly, that's where for Odell Beckham Jr., it's got to stop. He's got to start to look forward here and stop looking behind him. And if he really indeed does want to be, you know, and surpass Jerry Rice as the all-time receiving yards leader, Taz, he's got to get back to being focused on the field and enough with the nonsense off the field.
Yeah, and, you know, a focused Beckham is a nasty, dangerous player right there. You know, so, it's very important for him to get locked in right now to the Browns, and I think he will. It's going to be extremely interesting to see how Beckham reacts to two things. One, if the Browns, you know, they're projected to do really well. So they got a ton of talent on that offense, a ton. So it's going to be interesting to see how Beckham reacts if and when they don't win, as people are predicting, the Browns, and or if Beckham's not getting the rock that much. If he's not getting the football, and that football, they're using him as a guy who's just drawing the best guys, and that ball's going to Juice Landry, you know, Beckham's buddy, or it's going to Njoku, the tight end, it's going to Nick Chubb running the ball or out of the backfield, you know, or maybe Callaway is getting some reps at receiver, who's another really good player, by the way. You know, I mean, then we'll see how Beckham acts if he's all selfish. But maybe he'll be a team guy, and hopefully he is. I mean, because Browns fans are excited right now. What Baker Mayfield, new coach of Freddie Kitchens. It's going to be interesting, too, Moose. We didn't talk about this earlier, man. I'd love to get your take, too. You think Kitchens is going to have an issue? He's a young, new head coach. He's dealing with a lot of young, new guys that are talented, and there's some ego there. You know, it's going to be interesting here, right? What do you think?
I think
Kitchens can handle it?
I think he can handle it as long as the guys are doing what they need to do on the football field.
Well,
to an extent. I mean, Taz. As long as they're not acting improperly. Nothing.
Right.
That's not something Beckham's ever done. Beckham's never gotten in trouble with the law.
That's true.
So there's not been that. Do I think Freddie Kitchens want to see him doing a sit down like he did last year with Lil Wayne and ESPN? No, I don't.
It's actually Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
You're saying little.
I said Lil Wayne.
What do you call that when you take the three letters and not the whole? What's that called? An adverb? Maybe not.
That's probably not an adverb.
Next.
Okay.
Number two.
Next. DJ Durkin working out as guest coach with the Falcons during camp.
All right, take it away. Right. Yeah, DJ Durkin. Does it bother you that Durkin's here involved with the Falcons?
It's a tough question. It does. And it's going to sound weird. I don't want to say at least. It's the wrong way to word that. You know, after what happened and the tragedy at Maryland with student athletes. Now, I don't want to say at least. I'm trying to think of a different way to say it. At least Durkin, I guess, is the way to say it. It's with adults, with pro athletes, with grown men, you know, where he's not in a position, like he's not the head coach or nothing like that. I'm not really answering your question.
It's too soon. I mean, you know, number one is you mentioned the toxic culture down in Maryland. 19-year-old Jordan McNair, his untimely and tragic death. Right now, he's only going to be with the Falcons for 10 days. Here, I would, if I were an NFL team or if I were a college program, I don't want anything. I don't want any part of DJ Durkin.
No,
I really don't. I don't care. I don't care if he's there and he's collecting water bottles on the side. It doesn't matter. I just don't want to be around. I would not want DJ Durkin to be part of my program.
And Moose, I mean, kind of a rhetorical question, but like, what? Why? Like, why? Why did the Falcons, like, you're the Atlanta Falcons? Like, what? What is the main reason? Again, rhetorically speaking, what do you need him for? Why bring that kind of negativity and guys like us talking about this? It's not like he was the success from a D1 college football perspective of a Dabo Sweeney or a Nick Saban type guy. You know what I mean? Like, what are you getting here? Why are you doing this?
A quick answer to the question. I think he's doing a friend and helping a friend out, right? He said, the fact that I know this coach firsthand, I know what his character is, and then the due diligence that goes with that, I would certainly hope that anybody covering this team or the fan base would know that I always have the team's best interest in mind and would never put anybody in a space that would be otherwise. So If you're asking me why DJ Durkin is there, Taz, is that probably Quinn felt like he could do a friend a favor, that he knows Durkin. I don't know how well. He says he knows him firsthand. He knows what kind of character he is. That he might be doing somebody, you know, a Benny, so to speak.
And I respect that. I got that. But like, I think you nailed it. It is too soon.
Yeah.
It's just too soon. And no one, I mean, for Quentin, no one's saying that he's going to go there and make pro athletes run gases and there's going to be a tragedy. No. I mean, that's not going to happen. No one's thinking that the Atlanta Falcon players are in danger. That's not it.
No.
It's just this guy's name. It's just a really, you said it best. It's just too soon.
Well, that's it. And it was surprising. He's only going to be there 10 days, but it's probably 10 days too many. All right, next.
Number three.
Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald blames poor college football attendance on cell phone.
Nah, we played the audio. It's about 2 minutes in length. We're not going to play it again here, Taz. But hop on the podcast, radio.com and Apple Podcasts. You can check it out. We kicked off the 7 o'clock hour, second hour, talking about the Northwestern head coach's comments. And we see a little bit of a downturn in college attendance. He's talking about the millennial fan being locked into their phones and social media. And we had a wide-ranging conversation, which was a pretty good one.
Great conversation.
To kick off that second hour. Listen, I think it's hard for we saw Saban criticize Alabama fans last year for not showing up for every home game, right? And the student section being empty when they're playing, you know, some of the, you know, the dregs or, you know, the I would say lower level college programs. Right. And so we've seen, I don't think attendance at college football has anything to do with social media. You want to talk about people's interactions. You want to talk about people being locked into their phones, not enjoying the moment. That's a different story.
And
Fitzgerald got into that as well.
Right. He did. He got, Fitzgerald really got into that. Like,
yes, he did.
So I'm saying, I think his biggest issue was more of people can't stay off their cell phones and stuff like that and younger people or whatever. And he's right for the most part. College football attendance in the past 5 years has been down a little bit, but I think that if you're Fitzgerald, that Northwestern program in the suburbs of Chicago, great school Northwestern and good Big Ten football, but they were 3-4 at home last year. I think they were 9-5 overall, I believe. They were 3-4 at home last year. You get three wins at home. You're not drawing, bro.
No.
You're not drawing. I'm sure Nick Saban, I got a feeling he's drawing north of 100,000 people at Alabama. Harbaugh is drawing north of 100,000 people at the Big House. At the Shoe there in Columbus. No doubt, Ryan Day, the new head coach, they're going to draw. Okay, right. LSU in Death Valley, they're drawing. They're 100,000 people. So maybe Northwestern's not drawing that, and they're not, but you're not winning enough at home. You're just not. Now, look, like Alabama last year, the least attended home game, Moose, the home opener against Arkansas State, 100,000 people, 100,495. That's what was there. 100,000 people at Arkansas to play Arkansas State.
Nice.
So, but they say if you look at analytics and numbers, past 5 years, as a whole,
the numbers have gone down. And you can look at the performance of the program, and then you can get into millennials and the connection and sitting there for a game and whether they're locked into the game. It was a great conversation that we had earlier on. It's one of the things that can grab some headlines. And I think what Fitzgerald had to say, not necessarily the connection to college attendance, but I do think a little interpersonal reaction, people being too social media driven on a day and
cell phone driven,
and
too.
Cell phone driven, Taz. I do think it's a little bit of a problem in our society.
I agree, and you know, and again, like you said, I mean, we can't get into it all here, but we had a great convo and about different age ranges of kids from yours to mine, and so people should download the podcast of today's episode. You'll hear that at Apple Podcasts or radio.com on the app of the website, Taz and Moose. But yeah, no. There's a definitely, yeah. I mean, you could drive on any interstate or parkway or highway in this country, and people are on their cell phones.
Oh.
I'm driving next to a guy in a big, a big Dodge Ram, big truck. Guy's going to work. You can tell, and he's got his phone in his hand. This guy had to be, I don't know, 50, 55 years old. And then I go up a little bit further, and there's a girl that she's probably 21, 22 years old.
Nothing annoys me more is when I'm at a stoplight and the car is in front of me and the light turns green and they're clearly texting or tweeting or doing something and they're not paying attention and it's like 10 seconds and then you get right on the horn and you're like...
No, I lean on the horn and I keep heavier objects in the car and they might fly out of my window.
Right, throw them at the window.
Mike has experienced me in the car in rage on the phone.
I won't name somebody.
I don't play games.
I know it.
Yes.
I know an athlete that throws loose change at a car.
I respect that.
Yeah. I do. A former athlete that well, if they do that, they'll take change out of the thing and keep it specifically for this reason and then throw it at the car.
I know someone that took, you ever see those two big silver balls, that massage balls you could hold, the Chinese type balls that you're good for massage?
Yeah.
I saw a guy wrestle without naming his name. He was actually on TV last night on Raw. And he took one of those balls and threw it at a guy's back window.
Oh, my. He probably busted open, right?
Busted the window.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We're in Orlando, Florida. going to work, going to wrestle. And the low light, right near Universal Studio. And he busted this guy's back window.
Did the cops come? Did he have to pay for the window?
We kind of, I don't
bolted?
Know.
Bolted?
Next!
There you go. Your three big stories that you need to know here on this Tuesday morning. We're coming back. We got the undercard for you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Tuesday morning, we went through basically everything.
Everything, bro. Everything.
Yeah, we've got a little bit left, right?
You know,
which means...
Yeah, sorry.
What?
I didn't even done talking.
No, I wasn't.
No, I was... Okay, good.
No, go ahead.
Now I can afford yours.
All right. Here we go. The undercard.
Why wouldn't I say so?
Oh.
I didn't know you were going to the undercard.
Oh, oh, well, you can say what
Taz
you want.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Yeah, that's my fault. I didn't realize how late it was either, so I was going to the undercard. No, I was... Nah, whatever.
No, what were you going to add?
Nothing.
Oh, that's it?
No, I was going to mention the picture of my kid, because I had a lot of people tweet me thinking my son's a pro wrestler. He's not a pro wrestler.
Right, well, you tweeted out a picture of your son working out last night.
Yeah, he was in the gym working out. My son is not a professional wrestler. Maybe one day, but right now he's not. He's,
You think he was going to be a wrestler one day?
No.
Okay.
But he might now. He's older. I mean, he might, when he was younger, you know, coming up, my wife, I think, will break my legs. Not his, mine.
Do you think he'd be interested in wrestling?
He's a good athlete, and he plays judo.
No, I know that.
I think he'd have little interest. He wants to make money. He likes money.
Well,
so,
who doesn't?
You know, exactly. So
I mean, we all like money, right?
So I'm just saying, he likes money. So
I mean, he'd
be interested. I don't think he. I asked him one day. I said, "If you ever were a wrestler, would you want people to know that I'm your dad?" He goes, "I don't know." I go, "I'd rather them not know." Mm. You know, I'd rather them not do your own thing. You know.
Well, people are going to know. Them.
Well,
isn't that hard?
His name is Taz 2. Yeah. Then.
Well, no. But people are going to connect the dots.
2.0.
They're going to know. In today's day and age, maybe 40 years ago, people would know everything.
This doesn't help that I tweet out a photo.
Right.
It doesn't help.
So no wrestling right now.
Not right now.
He's still
in
college.
He's...
Let him enjoy life.
I can't tell everyone out there that
are basically hammering.
They're all giving respect. He's in good shape right now. He's training hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's training. He's just ready to go. He's ready right now to do anything. I don't know what that is. He's got nothing planned. He's just ready to go.
All right, Mike. What do we got? Anything?
That's it.
That's all you got. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Jeopardy James says avoid the Browns in betting. You agree?
No.
He likes the Patriots to win.
Stunning.
Nope.
For Jeopardy James.
Hey, Forbes has the Cowboys.
Enough for Jeopardy James. Did this 15 minutes end, he's Jeopardy brilliant. James?
No, he's a gambler. He's a sports gambler.
He likes Tim Duncan's Spurs assistant.
Is he going to be our
good
guest
luck
this
with,
week?
Mike, and most importantly, good luck with your hard launch
Thank
today
you very much, Moose.
Of your podcast.
Basketball dreams.
Mike, Pete, fantastic. Yeah. Zookie. Darwin.
Who's your mean?
Zook.
You
Thank
are
you
guy.
So much.
You really are.
No. Great job, everyone.
All right,
one
guys,
and all.
Thanks.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here. you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.